This is the Nielsen Norman Group UX Podcast.
I'm Samita Tinkala. In our increasingly interconnected world, cross-cultural research is more important than ever. As businesses expand into international markets, they face the challenge of adapting their offerings to meet local tastes and expectations. Cross-cultural research enables organizations to design products and services that not only resonate with a diverse global audience, but also respects cultural values and practices. To explore this topic, I chatted with Fei-Fei Liu, who is an international UX researcher at Nielsen Norman Group. Now, being from China, Fei-Fei brings a rich personal background into the realm of cross-cultural UX research. She also delves into her own personal experiences that have shaped her professional path, discusses the importance of cross-cultural research, and shares insights and considerations from cross-cultural research that she's conducted. I hope you all enjoy. Now, it's no stranger to us that, you know, companies are seeking growth in global markets more than ever. However, they often discover that strategies successful in their domestic markets may not resonate with individuals in diverse cultural backgrounds. And one of the ways to prevent that is understanding the importance of cross-cultural UX research and design, which is a lot of what you get to do. And so for those who aren't familiar, I was hoping you could tell us briefly what cross-cultural UX research and design is all about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you come across cross-cultural UX research and design when you design for a group of users that is culturally different from yours, right? Like the most direct thing that comes to my mind is the geographical region. Like, say, I am a Chinese designer and our company plans to launch our app in the United States. Then we need to research like what Americans want and need. And that might be different from what Chinese people want and need. So, and in the context of the app that we're actually offering, right? And we may end up like developing a totally different app for the US market or a similar app just with the content like translated or somewhere like, you know, in the middle. So I think that's like when you need like the cross-cultural UX research and then inform the design decisions. And also sometimes there are like subcultures like within the same region. For instance, like people may speak different languages in the same region. Like there are many different languages in India. That's sometimes, you also need to consider those like subtle cultural differences when you even design for the same region.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you bring up really interesting points about how it's not just culture or cross cultures across different countries. It's even within regions. I was actually just in India literally last week for about two weeks. Cool. And mostly in the southern part of India. That's where my family's from. And even within the southern part of India, I'm going to different cities and visiting different parts. And I'm noticing there are just there were different languages being spoken, different religions being practiced, food that they ate, clothing that they wore. I think one thing that was a learning moment for me was even, you know, saris, which is a traditional Indian dress, they're worn differently and they're styled differently in different parts of India. And so it really, and the thing is, you know, people are strongly attached to their cultural roots, and those might ultimately, like you just said, influence their product choices and the ways that they interact with those products as well. I'm curious, though, what got you specifically personally interested in cross-cultural UX research and design?
I just came to the States. I was brand new. It was my first time, like, living in a different country for a long time. And if you have ever moved, you know, like you have to buy a lot of different things. Like I received like 50, like 100 packages for the first several months I moved here. And then I got to realize, wow, like the things like people are doing here in the States are so different from China. Like to name a few, I have to shop on different sites, different websites to purchase different items. Like different like designer brands for clothes or shoes. And then different like Macy's for like daily goods and Target for groceries and Best Buy for like electricities, like electronical goods, stuff like that. And then like it was different. And I received like emails from all those like vendors. And to compare it to China, like you bought all the things on the same platform. That's like how people like it. Like people use centralized apps. Mm. Like they use only one or two at most, like e-commerce app. Like if they use more than that, they feel like they cannot handle that much. And you can like track all those like delivery in one single app with just like some notifications. You don't have to check the emails. And I feel the number of like me checking emails in the States for the first 3 months, like, was more than the amount like I've been doing that in China in the past 20 years.
Would normally.
So, right. So, I mean, that is a lot of like cultural differences and cultural shock in terms of like how people handle digital experience.
And yeah, if you don't follow and understand those cultural norms, you may lose out. You might lose out in customers and, you know, people might just move on to another app that is more centralized, right?
Right.
And so why do you specifically, with the digital world becoming, you know, increasingly interconnected, why do you think it's crucial for designers and researchers to consider cultural differences in design preferences now more than ever?
That's a great question. So, I mean, I feel the force and the desire come from two different perspectives. The first is like some companies, they are actively like reaching out. They are not like satisfied with like only existing in their domestic markets. They want to expand. They want to know what is there, in another part of the world. So that's why they are going to consider like, do we need to localize our product? Or do we just do some translation? There's a decision they have to make. And even if you don't do that like proactively, sometimes like customers from the other part of the earth will just like reach out to you, right? Because like the globalization and then the prevalence of like internet, like smartphones, just makes international communication like much more easier than before. So people like just randomly came across like foreign brands or like products. Cause when we conducted like e-commerce studies in the States, in India and in China, like most of the participants, they say like, yeah, I've shopped on like foreign websites. I've bought like foreign brands. I know them. And I just wish the whole process can be like more seamless. I don't have any questions that I had to like reach out back and forth with customer support in another part of the world. And then so it's it can be like very common. Like for instance, say like a Brazilian shopper, they try to buy like a South Korean fashion brand because they saw their favorite Instagram celebrity wearing it. So I mean that can all happen. But if the side of that brand, like if they don't consider international audience, they don't have a translated version, or if they made some mistakes in designing their translated version, for instance, if they fail to like translate the text in the visuals on their translated sites, then they're like losing their customers. They're losing their like value, like benefits, right?
Right. So I'm kind of hearing two pieces that are really important is embedding translations, making sure people can actually access and understand what they're buying and purchasing. And also localization, understanding actually specific, you know, cultural elements. So there's a lot to think about, I guess, right? And so I guess designing for global audiences, it's no easy task though. And so I'm curious, in your perspective, what factors do designers and researchers have to consider when creating cross-cultural designs?
Ideally, we want to provide the best, like, localized version for every single customer in the whole world. But that, I mean, most of the time it's not practical and it's not worthwhile for the investment, because maybe your majority of the foreign customers come from the same region, right? So, I mean, for the first part is to decide, like, which areas you want to, like, focus on most, like, which versions. Maybe, like, you can pick, like, depending on the size of your company and business, maybe, like, 3 or 4, or, like, even starting with 1. And to provide, a more dedicated, like, localized site for them. And then for the rest of them, you can just start with, like, translated versions. And even for the localized site, when you're designing them, I think there are, again, like, several factors to think about. One is, like, more generally, like, how far that culture is from yours. So there are many, like, psychological theory, like, talking and discussing about the cultural differences. For instance, like, one of the most classical theories is Hofstede's, like, cultural dimension theory. You may heard of some of them, like, individualism versus collectivism, like, short-term oriented versus, like, long-term oriented, like, a power distance. Those, like, terms can help you understand, like, a general, like, a high level, how people at that region behave differently compared to your audience, like, domestic audience. And then another tricky part is to consider how those cultural differences exist in the details, like, how they interact with your product. So, for instance, U.S. and China, there are a lot of, like, cultural differences. But if it's, like, a very simple app, I don't know, like, maybe use the app to control how to turn a lamp on. That is so simple. Like, there is not so much cultural differences play in there. But if, let's say, if it's an educational app that teachers are going to use in the classroom, right? Then there's a lot to consider, right? Like, the class settings and also the educational system in these two countries are very different. So that's where, like, designers need to consider, okay, so because of the cultural factors, we need to accommodate our designs. Maybe delete this feature, but add on that feature for a different localized version.
Could you give us an example of what a localized design is?
Yeah, I mean, we've come across a lot of good examples when we conducted that, like, e-commerce study. So one example I can recall is an Australian pharmacy website. So it's a kind of like a train for Chinese shoppers to shop some like Australian healthcare product on those like pharmaceutical website. So many of them have a localized Chinese version. So they use like familiar, like, I mean, those like color schemes and also information architecture design that is similar to those like biggest Chinese e-commerce platform. And also they offer discounts during Chinese holidays. And they provide like the language of the site is fully in Chinese, and also they offer support in like social media channels available in China, like WeChat, like the biggest social media in China. So when our participants saw that, they would say, oh, wow, this site is very trustworthy. They're very professional. They consider like Chinese customers very thoroughly. But if they look at another site that only like translated, they will say, okay, they don't have much content to offer. I don't know what to do if I have a question about this specific product. And they are not that certain to make purchase decisions on like sites that only get translated. So I guess, yeah, that's kind of like how when like the cross-cultural design play the role, because those pharmaceutical websites in Australia, they provide a total different like service to local users, right? Maybe they provide only like healthcare products. They also provide like medication services. So like their local websites look dramatically different from their like Chinese localized version. And that pays off, right? Like people like those like different designs for different purposes because it caters to their like cultural needs.
Thank you for that example. Mm-hmm. Curious how or what are ways to actually understand, you know, before you even do any research, what are ways you can analyze cultural differences?
Yeah, I mean, I feel you can look at it from like a high level and a contextual level. And I feel like for the high level, you can read about that specific country, what they're like about, like in their daily life. You can get understand more about that part of the region of the world. And then for the contextual part, I feel that a good way to look at it to get started is to look at some like local competitors. Like I'm not asking you to like to learn like to copy the design, but to actually take a look at them and just think like more deeply, like why, if your design looks different from them in one feature or not, or maybe the whole IA, like information architecture or some specific parts of the app looks different, like think about why that happens. Like if the difference makes sense, if that implies the different way that people might interact with your product. And also another thing I can think about is to look at like social media, how people comment on they using your specific product. So that's why where you can come across a common frustration, the common challenge they came across when using this specific type of product. Another myth that people might have is that, oh, they are so different from us. Like they speak a total different language. They must be very different. But actually, like the people, like how human mind works it's actually similar. So I think the key of doing like cross-cultural research is not only analyzing the cultural differences, but it's more like see how people in that region do like handle this specific service or product or using them. But when you conduct research and looking at the results, seeing from the lens of cultural factors, like just add an extra layer of analysis to the research. So maybe that's the main focus because they're so different from us, or maybe actually it's not that different. Maybe the main mechanisms of how they interact with the product still remain the same, but they just prefer maybe a different communication channel or a way to navigate, and that's all possible.
I love what you just said with developing a cultural lens, because you're totally right in the sense that, you know, a lot of people just assume that, hey, we're all just, that's so different than what we do. But at the end of the day, there are a lot of similarities too. I wanted to talk about facilitating these type of sessions. You know, you've talked a lot about what it is, but I imagine this type of research requires a nuanced approach in many ways, since you are interacting with people from different cultures. And when you're conducting cross-cultural research, how does your approach need to differ from a standard UX research approach?
I feel like the general best practices feel like stay the same. You need to like keep like quiet. You need to build rapport first, and you need to like echo sometimes to insulate like more thoughts. Because still like cross-cultural UX research is within the same big umbrella of UX. When you do a cross-cultural research, a few things you need to consider compared to a domestic one is you need to think more about the test format, like if it's a remote or in person, and like who will be the facilitator, like if there are language barrier, you need to get a translator, or if you need to hire someone else to do the research for you, or if you just try to find like bilingual user participants, if you are designing for a culture that, I mean, you've never known before, and you and your product, actually they use it a lot in their daily life. If that's the case, for instance, let's say we need to design a smart TV for people living in Southeast Asia. But I mean, like, none of the people in the team have been there, or we don't know like how people there like use TV, like what kind of TV programs they follow. If we have no idea about this information at all, the things to start with should be a field study, like to actually go and visit there, like to understand how people actually use TV, like how many people are there in one single family, like who are using that specific product. So that's where like the context play a big role here. But maybe after we conduct the first several studies, we found, okay, now we have a better idea, we have a concept, then we are actually twisting our domestic product to a localized one. We are running some usability testing, and maybe we can just do it like remotely because we build rapport with some participants and they know what we're doing and we know what we're doing. We are more confident about the product that we are going to launch there. And if you do find a translator, you need to kind of like give them some tips. Like, you cannot let the translator tell you there's the answer. You have to just like give them a little bit heads up on that. And you might have to reserve the session time to be a little bit longer than usual, so to have time like, to cover the back and forth communication. Another approach is to recruit like bilingual users, but sometimes bilingual users may not be like representative compared to like others, because maybe they have a specific certain qualities that the normal audience doesn't have. So there is like a selective bias, as we called. So those are things we need to try to avoid. And also sometimes people are not like as talkative in their second language compared to their mother tongue. We encountered an issue like that in our study in India. So the session originally like happened in English, and though the participant was like fluent in both Hindi and English, but when talking in English, like she was very reserved. She spoke a little, but the facilitator was our intern at the time. She knew Hindi and she spoke Hindi with that participant. And boom, suddenly, like, she just like opened up and provided like lots of like insights that was like very helpful. So, I mean, yeah, sometimes you like your intent was pretty good. Like, yeah, we want to try to recruit bilingual users, but maybe they are not that expressive in another language. So, and especially in the setting of like a usability study.
When you're in a situation like that, what are other ways to make a user feel comfortable or a participant feel comfortable in the moment? You know, what if you don't have a translator, someone who understands? Are there any other ways you can make someone feel comfortable in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like my biggest lessons learned situation like that is to be honest and kind of be transparent and tell them there's no right or wrong answers and about what you're doing or not. Like, we are not testing you and testing the product. So that's how we like reassure them. But then, and sometimes I also share, like, I also come from a different culture. Like, maybe I hope I don't like be unintentionally offensive because of the language I speak. So, I mean, set expectations like that before. It actually helps me as well, because it can make me feel less nervous, but also it tells participants to like lower their expectations. Like, we're not like a very high standard. Like, you don't have to account for every single word you say. So, that also makes them feel better as well. But I mean, sometimes, and sometimes it just happens. Like, people don't give a lot of, like, verbal feedback. And then that's why we need to, like, observe their behavior and ask more probing questions. That's another way that we can handle that.
So a lot of the practices apply, you know, in a non-cross-cultural research study as well. I had one last question for you. And this question is around of what's next. How do designers and researchers stay informed on cultural trends and changes to ensure that their products remain relevant for people across different cultural contexts? What are good ways to know and learn? I know you've mentioned a few, but I'm curious if there are any other ways to kind of keep up with cultural trends and stay informed.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, so first, I have to admit that people's attention resources are limited. So you cannot pay attention to, like, the changes in all cultures, in all markets. So I'd recommend you to pick a few, like, right, of your course. Biggest market to start with. Yeah. And a few things I personally am doing is follow the most popular, like, local designers or, like, UX companies or agencies. I follow their social media accounts to see what is popular there. Like, what are some, like, hot topics, like new trending design patterns, like, why are they getting popular, like, why recently? Reflecting on that, because and also you can use, like, local apps, see your competitors, like, what they are doing, like, what are their new promotions are, what they do, what do they look like, why they employ that kind of design patterns instead of that. And again, social media, I feel like those are things we can do to stay updated, because I'm also running NNG's WeChat channel in China. So that's how, like, I get to know, okay, so those are, like, things people, like, UX professionals in China are paying attention to most, like, why they are doing that and why did that happen, and how we can tailor our offerings on our WeChat account to better attract their attention. So I give that suggestions based from my own experience.
It never ends, right? It's something we have to constantly keep an eye on and pay attention to. As things culturally are also changing and shifting, and we have a lot of different other influences as well. I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. This has been a learning experience for me as well. And I really, really appreciate you bringing in your expertise. Any final thoughts?
Happy to share. And I mean, anything culturally, somehow, like, ultimately will become something universally if it is good. So, I mean, we're all learning from each other, like, whichever culture we come from.
That was Feifei Liu. If you are interested in reading more about the work that she's done, take a look at the show notes. But also remember that we have thousands of articles, videos, and reports on our website about UX design, research, strategy, and even UX careers. That website is www.nngroup.com. And if you enjoyed this show in particular, please follow or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. The show is hosted and produced by me, Samita Tenkala. All video editing and post-production is done by the Larimore Production Company. That's it for today's show. Until next time, remember, keep it simple.